back after a 2-week hiatus. We're back. We have someone that has never been on the podcast with us today. We've got a special announcement. We have Nicole Schraft with us. It's been at least a month since you've been on.
Yeah, at least a month.
We have Kim Smith, a regular co-host.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And we have Steve Douglas, who I don't know that any one particular business in the entire city gets more publicity on Good Morning Gloucester than what Steve gets from Manny Simos with his, like, it's almost like a daily thing in the summertime with the Harbor Shuttle.
Shuttle, right.
Is your family, how long have you been doing the Harbor Shuttle for?
The current shuttle, since 8 years ago. 8 years ago we started up the current one. My father initially started up the original sort of.
Was that the Dante?
The Dixie Bell.
Dixie Bell.
That was back in 1969.
Wow. Really? And where did that go from?
That went from the old Finity's, which is, you know, now the Madfish grill restaurant. But it used to be called Finity's Steakhouse.
Oh.
And
I didn't know that.
And we would, and he would do quick trips around Smith's Cove. And then the following year, he built the pontoon boat. And then the following year, had a larger pontoon boat to accommodate bus groups and hooked up with the Gloucester House. And we would do trips from Rocky Neck to the Gloucester House.
Oh,
how old were you at that point?
I was about 13, 14.
Wow. Talk about growing up in it.
And there was a captain, a senior captain that used to be on board, quite elderly, wasn't able to actually man the boat. The first mate would steer the vessel. His name was Walker, Captain Walker. I can't recall his last name, but he was a very interesting guy.
A character?
Yeah.
I ran into speaking of, I meant to get this woman on the podcast today. I was eating at Tano for Valentine's Day with Kate, and sitting right next to me, literally a foot and a half away from me, was, oh God, why am I going to forget her name now? One of Evie Parsons' daughters, but her last name isn't Parsons.
Baker.
Susan Baker. Yes, I should have remembered that. God Almighty. Well, every Parsons legend. I mean, another legend, Rocky Neck legend. And the Parsons daughters, I mean, the daughters.
They were
famous. They were like, I mean, for the for what happened at the restaurant, at the Rudder, like when they just kind of like would just shut down. They had a piano bar there, and they would have these like, just like wild and inappropriate sing-alongs and stuff, and like all kinds of things would happen
during dinner.
So I'm sitting next to her, and you know, she's like my dad's age, but she's still as spunky as ever, talking about her boobs, like, you know, that
at Tarno and Valentine's.
Yeah, so see these boobs, they've been referred to as Gloucester's finest monuments, and I was just like that kind of thing, you know. Yeah, it's just like, we gotta get her on the podcast. But she was talking about Rocky Neck, you know, history and stuff, like stuff that I didn't know. Steve is bringing me to, you know, like, I didn't know that that was a steakhouse, the Madfish.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing.
And back to the Rudder with Paula and Susan Parsons. Their mother, Evie, was the one that really got the Rudder hopping each and every summer, you know, back in the day. That was the place to hang out.
Yeah.
And go to.
Was it dinner and drinks and music?
It was a regular restaurant, yeah. But they would have their own entertainment, which was hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah, little characters.
It was part cabaret, part, you know, dinner and drinks.
And burlesque.
Yes, burlesque. Maybe that's a better word for it.
You were just a pup. Do you know anything about this?
I know Susan Baker well. I remember Evie, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think I missed, like, that heyday, but I certainly remember my own heyday.
In which, by the way, they are relatives of mine, the Parsons.
Rocky Neck, this is Rocky Neck royalty right here. See, all these newcomers, they think that they're, you know, they they know what's up. Right. But we were talking earlier about how every time when we have the, there's the, we don't have, they, the Rocky Neck has the Polar Plunge, and we talk about Oaks Cove Beach, there's always this
discussion.
This discussion about who was there first and everything else, and it turns into a, you know, it's like an annual rite of passion where we bring up, anytime we bring up Oak Cove Beach.
And then we have to point to the maps from like 1850 and say, well, in 1850 it was called Oaks Cove.
Yeah, but weren't there several maps that we saw that some have it with the E, with the S, and some don't have
yes,
the S?
Yes, yeah. Like, oh, no, I think, was that Braces?
Oh,
I
maybe it's Brace Cove.
Maybe
I'm thinking of that.
Yeah.
But, so,
Brace Cove, Braces Cove.
Right. Yeah. Brace Rock, Braces Rock, the rock right. that belongs to Brace Cove.
Yeah, bananas. But Steve, so when the water shuttle, the harbor shuttle first started, like, well, you know, this incarnation of it 8 years ago, there were very few, the first couple of years, there were very few people on the
really?
Shuttle.
Oh, it's such an awesome idea. Wow.
It is. It has become a must-do over the last 4 years. So, I mean, Captain Pete, they come by the dock every day. You know, we're out in front of the dock waiting for boats to come in. And he's, you know, he's going by every day, several times a day.
Well, last year when we were on it, we called to you and we yelled to you and we cell phoned you. You were out there.
And you were nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
We tried to get you.
But it's this. Steve, just explain, how much does it cost now? And there's also the best deal. The best deal in the whole city of Gloucester for transportation is a yearly seasonal pass for the... Because it brings you to downtown, to Rocky Neck. You don't have to fight the traffic.
Yeah.
Do you still land over here at in front
Cripple
of Zeke's?
Cove.
Cripple Cove.
On demand.
On demand. Oh,
on
really?
Request.
On request.
The cruise port's on request, right?
The cruise port is an animal of a different...
If there's somebody docked there, then no, but...
that's a terminal, a formal terminal, in which they've got... pretty much reserved for their own vessels, their own business.
But the Harbor Master's office, right? And
the Gloucester House Restaurant.
The Gloucester House Restaurant.
Do you go to St. Peter's over there, behind the Cape Ann Brewery, and then over to...
the studio.
Out towards the new hotel, right. Off of the beach there, and over to 10 Pound Island, and then into Rocky Neck. It is a great deal. It's $10 all day long. Ride all day, hop on, hop off, like the big red buses that you see in big cities.
Yours can't dock at 10 Pound Island, right?
It can. It can beach itself.
Oh, okay.
And people disembark off the bow. But the reluctancy...
They have to get into the water to get...
No, not necessarily, no. But the reluctancy of it is that every landing that I make with the vessel scrapes the bottom of the hull, and the fiberglass will eventually get worn out. So if in fact they were ever to have the vision to put floats out there in a gangway...
That would be so awesome, wouldn't it?
That would be a great way to have people visit 10 Pound, but...
That discussion came up last summer or last fall?
A couple of years ago,
yeah. I think it was last year, too. They had a meeting about it, and they hired Jack Clark from Mass Audubon to do a wildlife study. Mm. And but I haven't heard anything since then, or what the results of the wildlife study
right,
were.
It just kind of fizzled
right.
out completely.
Right,
it's unfortunate.
I know, we should bring it back up, because, I mean, I'm dying to, like... Just go
so there's the $10 all day pass.
Right.
But then every year, are you gonna do it again this year?
Oh, absolutely. We have the seasonal pass.
Seasonal pass all from when they start in the beginning of the spring or whatever it is to the fall. How much is it?
$100. $100, $125 for a family.
For a family.
So it's $100. For a couple, $100 for a couple, $125 for a family.
Oh,
so
God.
Imagine how cool that would be too if you like lived over in East Gloucester and you commuted to downtown. Like you could just go on the water shuttle and not have to worry about parking your car.
It's brilliant. But I see, here's something that Nicole can relate to. Okay. You know where I'm going.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
Yeah, of course. See, you can go. You can go get your drink on, and not have to worry about driving.
We also we charter Stevie's boat once a year or so. We usually get a bunch of hockey families together. Don't pay a lot of money. Bring your own food on board. Right? Am I allowed to talk about this?
Own food and
drink. Bring your own food. Bring your own drinks on board. We get a sushi platter. Someone makes Jello shots. You pack your own cooler, and he'll drive you around. And if you want to do a pit stop at the Mad Fish or a pit stop at the studio, and go in for a minute, then get back.
What
on
time?
The boat.
What time? Like, is the earliest you can do it? What time does the shuttle stop officially doing the harbor shuttle stuff?
Well, we're doing weekends, spring and fall, 12 to 5.
So after 5, you could that's
charter
what you
the charter.
Yeah, yeah, charter the boat for sure. Summertime, it's daily. Now, with the renaissance going on at Rocky Neck, and the old Lobster House, Finity's Lobster and Steakhouse, now Mad Fish Grill, being rebuilt, Rocky Neck is going to come alive even more. So we're excited about the prospect of even generating more business, and with the potential idea of expanding the hours. Usually the water shuttle wraps up at 6 at night. It's the last trip at 5, but we're hoping maybe to expand the hours until 9 o'clock, so we can do an express from downtown to Rocky Mountain.
Oh my God!
An express!
You heard it here first.
Wow! This is like tremendous. What a stroke of fortune to have him walk through these doors.
There go my booze cruises, though,
that
Stevie.
Would be. Will that be? Well, we have the other boats.
Wait. Let's not bury the lead. Let's not bury the lead here. What? Did Madfish has been purchased and is being renovated right now?
Well, that's what I'm hearing.
Has there been any construction?
If you were to drive by, you would see some heavy equipment going on down there. So some initial construction has commenced.
Wow. Kim.
Okay.
You have a camera, right?
I'll get right on it, Chief.
You heard it here. Just breaking news all over the place. All right.
Stevie, you have a new trip this summer, too.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Nicole, thanks for mentioning that. But I got a shout out to Manny Simos, who is the in line each season for the number one issued water shuttle pass, he and his wife. And they frequent it all the time, and they add a nice dimension of socializing with the folks and photos
really
of the folks on board. But back to Nicole's point, on the other vessel, the King Ida, we're going to offer this summer for the first time, weekends, July and August, 10 a.m. Weekends, July and August, 10 a.m., a 2-hour Annisquam River trip.
Oh, yeah.
A little shorter than the Lighthouse cruise that circles Cape Ann, and a little cheaper, a little less money. And we've really highlighted the trip with some nice language to try to attract and build on the new
Are
the
these
new
all
cruise.
On your website?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay.
What's the URL?
CapeAnnHarborTours.com.
Okay. CapeAnnHarborTours.com. I'll put that in the show notes right now. Wow, this is crazy.
We talked about that last summer, how many people who live here aren't, if you don't have a boat or if you don't have a friend with a boat, how many people actually see Gloucester from the Annisquam. Yeah. I mean, I love that. I can't do that enough. Go down and look at all the houses and look at the marsh and Jones's Creek and whatnot. It's so pretty, and if you don't have access to a boat, which a lot of people don't, you miss that.
Yeah. And
so
also there's the there's one osprey nest there. Mm-hmm. And now the gentleman who put that first one up, he built that himself. He lives right there. I think he put a second one up.
Nice.
A bigger one. So I think that would really attract people, especially if there's
the ospreys?
The osprey nest.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know, have you seen them?
I was aware of one that was at the beginning of the river up by Annisquam. There, the one of the Coast Guard day markers of the rocks. There used to be I don't think that one exists anymore.
This one is right as you're...
It looks like right where the same pitch of these bald eagles were taken.
Right. It's right where the...
The turn.
Is it? Yeah, like you could...
Where the rock, the frog rocks?
I don't know, because I only went to see the Osprey. That was, you know, Paul very nicely took me...
If you're going from the railroad bridge to the Apiat Andrew Bridge, is it on the right-hand side?
You don't even get to the Apiat Andrew Bridge where the
in between there.
Right.
That's the thing.
I think you are right. Yeah. On the right as you're leaving the marina.
Yeah.
Right along the shoreline there.
There you go. Yeah.
And that house is owned by McKechnie.
Did they not want to be named?
No, they don't mind because he built that himself.
Okay.
He built the platform himself and stuff like that, and then Greenbelt helped him install it. But
so it's all legit.
Yeah, he constructed it all himself. Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
Speaking of that area and birding,
the bald eagles.
Two bald eagles.
Three. The young person sent us a photo.
Miles Mattson sent us photos of three bald eagles flying around in that area.
That's incredible.
Isn't it incredible?
That's exciting.
So exciting.
They're making a comeback.
Yeah.
I've seen them several times. I wonder if they can't be the same birds, can they? At Wenham Lake? I've seen them sitting out on...
Proximity-wise, it very well could be.
It could be, but they are territorial. And so if they're... Because I would think they would be constructing a nest right about now. You know, constructing a nest and getting ready to mate and, you know...
Ready to do their business.
I have to go carefully around you because I never know what you're going to
do. What? Terrible. No, that's great. That's exciting news, though. What I've been noticing, it seems, and I talked about this before. I'm not sure if it's just me being more aware or if it's true. I've seen way more hawks in the past year than I have past years.
And I haven't been keeping a record myself, but I'm hyper aware of them as well, too.
We drive Rockport to Beverly, you know, and back every day, and they're the same. And if you go further, like, up to the North Shore Mall, there's, like, six along the way. We know exactly where they're going to be sitting, and they never let us down. They're always... There's one at Blackburn Circle,
and
that little tree in the middle of the rotary that has since fallen down, so now it needs to go somewhere else, but it's always right there. It's funny, the whole way up 128, we know.
There's one that's always, if you're pulling out of the market basket in between the rotary and the first set of lights, there's one, if you look straight across, and there's like a windmill up above, and there's a thicket of trees, there's always a hot one there.
You know Frank James Pacheco, he's a greasy pole walker. He sent me photos of three photos of a red-tailed hawk devouring a seagull.
Where?
Right on his front yard.
Yeah. Where does he live?
Downtown Gloucester, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So
could be the same one.
Yeah.
There's one in our backyard. Not always, but I see it in this sitting in the same. Do they go back to the same kind of spots?
Yes, they have the same perch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're always in that.
Especially if it's, you know, if it's successful.
Yeah.
And they're catching things, they're just going to keep going back there.
This time of year, the leaves are down, so it's a lot easier to see them.
I was just going to say that you can. It's a great time of year to look for wildlife because there's no leaves on the trees.
Isn't the second week of February the highlight of migratory, like the birds coming down from the Arctic or something?
Right, yes.
Isn't that when they usually?
They usually have the winter
birding thing. The chamber usually has. They didn't have it this year.
I think it's
coming up in March.
This year they're doing it in March.
Yeah, well, the Seven Seas Whale Watch.
Okay.
I think it's March 22nd, if I'm not.
If
I'm not wrong.
I think because that's a really good time to see whales, right? So would you see whales and birds?
It might be a little early, but it's possible for sure.
Okay. Because I remember maybe it was later in the spring, they were seeing amazing schools of huge amounts of whales.
Yeah, they usually come like more like April, right? I think.
Yeah.
Towards the end of April.
And they were following fish, and so the birds were also after the. Yeah. So people were getting fantastic bird and whale shots, you know, in the same photo and stuff. So.
But the resurgence of wildlife, the hawks, and the bald eagles there on the Hamsquam River, and the upsurge of coyotes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the area, really
wild
has caught a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting.
It is, and it's funny. There's definitely the two factions.
Yeah, well,
the people that want to shoot them, and then the people that we recognize that you need to. We're going to be living with these things.
We're going to be living with them.
And
but I think the resurgence of the two is for different reasons. You know what I mean? Like, one reason is partly because we have so many forests now in, you know, all over New England that we didn't have 100 years ago. And
why do we have more forests now than there's been more development? So how's that logic?
New England, especially Massachusetts, when
protected areas?
Because at the turn of the previous century, the whole area was agrarian, and so farmers.
Okay.
So the farmers left their fields to go work in cities, and so all these former meadows and fields have filled in and become forested. Okay. So in Massachusetts, for example, we have, if you fly over Massachusetts in the summertime, it looks like, you know, an emerald, I mean, it's this beautiful
forest.
Emerald forest. And then, but in places like Pennsylvania, though, they're having a very different problem. They're losing all their forests to agriculture and to fracking. That's one reason why we have much more suitable habitat now, I think, in Massachusetts, especially for coyotes, and so that's just one reason why the coyote population is expanding.
Less foxes,
right? And that's a whole nother thing.
More bunnies.
We could go into detail about, but I also think
bunnies. How about the bunny explosion?
The bunny explosion comes from
bunny and turkeys.
Right.
Bunnies, turkeys. It's a lot.
It's madness.
There's a lot of different species.
Well, turkeys. That's another different reason why that has.
What's the turkey thing?
The turkey thing is because.
The theory, we gotta say it's a theory.
Well, it's actually, they were reintroduced into the western part of the state in the early 1970s. And just because of the healthy environment that we have, they've gradually migrated back through they've gradually established them all the way going east.
They were planted in the western part of the state?
In the western part of the state because people wanted to, they were hunted to, it's called extirpated when a species is hunted to, out of an area. It's not
I wonder
extinct.
When we're going to start seeing the partridges and the quails. Because I remember seeing partridges when we were...
When you were little.
The over-under?
I'm saying 2 years.
Okay, there are, right. I filmed a partridge in at Good Harbor Beach.
Oh, you did?
In the dune.
I missed it.
Three or 4 years ago. It was a while ago. But so every species has its own story, but the reason why the bald eagles are making a nationwide comeback is because DDT was banned. So you know why
they're also protected, right?
They're protected, but so when DDT was getting into the ecosystem, the birds would. The eagles would eat the fish that had the DDT because the DDT was coming into the waterways. So then the birds, eagles, and also brown pelicans stand on their eggs in the nest, and the DDT thinned the shells so much that it made the shells break. Uh-huh. So that's why they were nearly extinct. Bald eagles, uh-huh. Brown pelicans. So now that they don't allow DDT anymore, then we have this nice growing population of brown pelicans as well as bald eagles. So that's a huge environmental conservation success story, the brown pelicans and bald eagles.
Fascinating. I wanted to mention Cape Ann Foodie Tour. The lady came down and she bought the Hendrickson. Is it Cindy Hendrickson?
Yes,
Cindy Hendrickson. She came down and she bought the business from another guy. But I just want to talk about what a great premise it is.
Yeah.
Especially for out of towners, they come down here. They pay like one fee, Right. I think they go on 8 stops. They get like food at 8 different places.
That sounds like an all-day thing, doesn't it? And then they get to see a bit of Cape Ann, too.
And it's like local joints, like that people might not discover. All in one shop. They take them around and they talk about a little bit of the stories behind the places and everything.
Coincidentally, she and I had a business meeting 2 days ago, and we talked about developing a relationship them to take advantage of the shuttle after or before or during their tour to include Rocky Neck.
Right?
Yep.
Wow. That would be an awesome part of the tour.
There's so many. It's wide open, isn't it? Right. All the possibilities of things.
Our listeners are going to think that we planted seeds.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing was, we didn't even invite Steve. He just popped in because he was interested in some of Polly Walnut's father's paintings. And we're like, sit down, because we had his brother on.
At the
Beauport, yeah. That's funny. So there's that. So check out, I think she's on Facebook and she has a website.
Are you going to put the link there?
I'll put a link, yeah, okay. I'll definitely put a link.
Yeah, I think that's just one more unique way for people to come into town and connect and have a purpose, if you will.
Instead of just wandering around.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So there's that.
That would be my style of vacation when the kids were little. Oh, we'll just go here
Wander around.
That's what I'll tell you. So, Nicole, you had good experience at 525.
Yeah, and we always do. But I just, this time of year we don't get out nearly as much as we do in the summer. So I went a couple of Fridays ago with a couple of girlfriends and had great meal, great time. I will say that it was we left at like 9:15, no, like 9:45 on a Friday. We were the last ones there, which I thought was interesting, but phenomenal food and great time. It was packed when we got in there. We sat at the bar, waited for like 25 minutes for a table, and then had we split like 3 or 4 different things and just had a great time.
Everything posted looked really good.
Yeah, it was really delicious. Good. And they have a new, slightly new menu and drink menu, but
I hope they still have the Stromboli, because I had the Stromboli and I had it. It was probably like 5 months ago, and I've been dreaming about it ever since. It's that good. It's that good. I think they do a Sunday brunch, don't they?
I don't know.
Not sure. But yeah, 525 is a great place. Steve, you got to take off.
I've got to run.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for breaking all this news.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been exciting.
Yeah, say hi to the wife for us.
I will.
She's a sweetheart.
We'll be seeing everybody out and about.
I'm sure you'll give us the press release when those season passes become available.
Yeah, and there'll be one delivered here. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye, Steve.
Be well.
I think Good Morning Gloucester should look into a, we have our holiday party.
Oh, Stevie, we're going to do that.
We're going to have Good Morning Gloucester.
We're going to come up with a date. We're going to do a Good Morning Gloucester, we're going to charter it one night.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks, buddy. That'd be awesome.
Right?
Good idea.
Yeah. And still do our schooner thing, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Okay. So we'll have a July and August event, maybe.
Yeah, we'll do a monthly thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Super.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You also went to Vidalia's.
Yeah, we had
That's in Beverly Farms.
It's in Beverly Farms, right next to Half Baked. So our phenomenal head of school that we talk about often, Paul Horowitz.
he's a FOB, right?
Right. Yeah.
He doesn't really comment, though.
No.
No,
we like him to comment.
All right, well, you tell him.
Well, he should be listening.
he probably will be listening. He does submit, though. Nothing makes me happier when I'm like trying to come up with something like 5 days worth of posts, and then Paul sends me a picture kind of randomly, and I'm like, yes, perfect. So
content.
I think Super Bowl Sunday I might have gotten one or something, and I was like, perfect timing. But he's definitely a fan of the blog, him and his awesome wife, Betsy. But so Paul is so kind as to once a month treat the faculty to a luncheon, and we, 45, 50 people or whatnot.
Oh.
So he chose Vidalia's this week. So I went over there and picked up platters and platters of food. And I haven't been there in forever. And just super nice when you walked in to pick everything up, carried everything out to the car. But, really nice touches on the platters. I posted, or I'm going to post a couple pictures of just how pretty they were, but so yummy, so nice.
They're great people.
Great people.
They're great people. The sister and is our friend Melissa from Willow Rest. So every community should be blessed to have these people move in. Yeah. Because they're awesome.
Did you ever go to Canaan Farm when Marilyn had it and they were running it back then? Because that was on 1A in Wenham.
Yeah, no, I know exactly where it was. Yeah. I knew the family and I think I did. And I think I had been there before it was Canaan Farm.
Oh, okay.
Before Marilyn had her fingers on it.
Oh, okay.
And then when she did, and the transformation into like a real deal awesome place.
Yeah.
Like anything she puts her fingers on is going to be incredible. Now it's Tendercrop.
Right.
They're expanding all over the place.
Yeah. I go there once a week.
Yeah.
To the Tendercrop. It's pretty phenomenal.
What do you get? The meats or what do you get?
No, I don't get, it's just so close to school, so I'll, on my lunch break or whatever, I'll run down there, and I always just get some, like, pears and some salad. They have a great soup. They usually have, like, 4 hot soups ready
for
the taking.
At that location?
At the Tendercrop, yeah, on 1A.
It's that close to you. How long do you have
for lunch? They have 2 locations, right?
Yeah, they are over in Newberry.
Tendercrop is.
Yeah.
I think that they have their meats.
Yeah, they do.
Do. Oh, okay. I've done like three or so posts about them just because it's really, they have everything. But no, so I go from Harbor Light, shoot right down over the train tracks by the Learning Express or Nick's Roast Beef, and then it's like half a mile down the street.
Yeah, that's not too far.
I get there in like 3 minutes. So,
I
always get some soup and some
produce.
You're
going away from the downtown traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, or I'll even just go for a nice drive, go through like Wenham, and come back around the other way.
That's a pretty drive.
But like you said about the Eagles, you go by the Wenham Lake, and it's just a nice drive. I get a cup of coffee while I'm at Tendercrop, and go back the long way, and it's just a nice drive.
They have coffee there?
Yeah, they have the coffee. They have the hot soups, mm-hmm. tons of produce, obviously, mm-hmm. and then prepared meats, great cheeses and dips.
You know something? There's so often where like I'm picking up my daughters, and they might be like the pickups might be an hour apart.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like circling, trying to figure out something to do.
I'll go there.
I'm going to stop in there and get like soup or something.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Because my daughters love soup.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you just get, one might be really hungry and have the hanger. Because I get the hanger.
They have great breads and like scones and pastries too.
Oh my God,
like
stop,
they have everything
stop,
there.
Stop,
so
stop.
That's I usually stop. Go and get 3 or 4 things and keep them at work for the week,
Also, speaking of your Harbor Light and everything else, did you contacted me and you said, who does the hats?
Yeah, your Good Morning Gloucester hats.
And I gave you the name of our awesome producer, the Shirts Illustrated. I deal with Henry now.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Lopes, his sister-in-law, Julie Lopes. And they do, and so you got something produced by them?
We did hats for with our new logo for Harbor Light up there, and he could not have been better to work with. So I think I texted you on the way to work. I emailed him when I got there. He emailed me back like 4 minutes later and set us up with, did the digitizing of the logo. And, I didn't know how well they'd sell, so I wanted to get kind of a small amount. So he let me like pick and choose. I wanted half trucker, half regular, green, half orange.
Oh, wow.
And he let me custom do the order, and then they sold out immediately. So I called them back and said, we need to do another order, but
you
get them done in like 5 days. It's perfect.
Post a picture of one.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. Post a picture of one, because I'm sure there'll be people on the blog, once you get a new order in.
Yeah.
Post a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super cute, but he was so great to work with. Great price.
The thing about these people are, some of them, they do it out of their back the shed or whatever, and it takes forever. They are set up to get you done. And the prices are as good as any other place.
Right. Yeah.
But the service is far and away. Like, he delivered our Captain Joe and Son's order down here.
Are you going to put a link to them?
I've done that a bunch of times. I'll do it again.
Yeah, it's funny because I see that truck driving around, their Shirts Illustrated logo, painted on there, right?
Henry lives on Portage Hill.
Yeah, okay. So I've seen that around but never had any reason to work with them and didn't even know that's who did, the Good Morning Gloucester hats until I asked you and was happy to have a reason to call them. But yeah, I just shoot over to Salem the 2 times I've had to pick up an order, and both times they've been done before they said they would be done, and price is definitely right, but they...
Well, this
they're
might
great
I
to work with.
I should probably know this. Do they do our T-shirts too?
No, they don't do our T-shirts.
Okay.
They actually did. They have a super sale once a year on T-shirts.
Okay.
I actually did get a bunch of the latest ones, but they're really more
embroidered logo and whatnot.
No, this the the shirts that I got for the green and the purple ones, they're more promotional t-shirts rather than like, you know, high end. Okay. Like they do that kind of work. Okay. The ones I got done were like just part of a whatever. Okay. It's, it,
all right. Just curious.
Yeah, yeah. Shirts Illustrated will do pretty much anything. They gave me a giant catalog of because we want to get some like gym, you know, gymmy jackets, like the athletic wear for our sports teams and whatnot too. So we'll go back to them for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely work with them. This is something that kind of caught me off guard. It was a couple of weeks ago. The Apple store at the North Shore Mall
moved.
Poof!
Yeah, with no notice.
No notice. All these old ladies that buy these Apple phones and like go there when they can't figure out how to get their contact lists over and everything.
Yeah.
Where do they go now?
They're at Linfield. Do you know that?
The Linfield Marketplace?
Yeah, they opened a beautiful new store. But I didn't know they were moving until we had a school event. Also a great thing to do. We had a school event where the skating rink at Linfield Market Street gave us... for anybody who showed up with our flyer to skate, they gave us, you know, a small, you know, a couple dollars back for each skater to our to the charity, which would be the school. And then we ate at Wahlburgers, and Wahlburgers gave us 15% of anybody's bill back to the school. So we had dinner and skate up at Market Street. And I had been there, so I was there for the whole time, you know, from 4 to 8 or whatever. And at one point I looked up, and the Apple store is right there next to the rink, and it's all glass, you know, it's all windows. And And I said, oh, they opened a new Apple store. And then somebody next to me is like, oh, no, they shut down the one at the mall. And I was like, well, how the heck was I supposed to know that? I go, I'm one of those people. All of a sudden, I don't go for months. And then I end up having to go like four times in a week because something's gone wrong. And I had no idea they were moving. Hmm. But their new location is gorgeous.
So that's good to news for those people, for the that there is some place to bring them. Someone told me that it was in Saugus or something like that. And like I was like, all these old ladies on the North Shore, they're not going to be, or men.
Yeah.
Like a guy like Ron Gilson, right? He, you know, he probably has an issue on a weekly basis. My iPhone is broken. I need to get help because they buy those plans. You know what I mean? When you buy the, when you buy something, then you buy the plan for the lessons.
Right.
You want to be able to have access to get the lessons.
And Linfield isn't so bad to go to.
It's not too bad.
No, it's awesome up there. Those, it's actually a good excuse to go up
those,
there.
If you drive up and down the 128 corridor, from like all the way up where we are to all the way down the South Shore, I think there's like three of these outdoor mall super complexes, and they're building them in spaces where they have like condos built around them.
Right. In a more
and it's this is this happened 15 years ago down south, like the Carolinas, Florida, Texas. They have these planned communities, and they're kind of built with like high density condos closer to the downtown center, and then as they go further out, more like they might have duplexes, and then further out single family homes, but it's all master planned. But you go up to that Market Street, and it's not the first one of these. They're very successful.
Very successful.
I'm wondering if they're taking any kind of a market share from like the
from the malls. Hit. I think it's a huge hit. I'm waiting for Nordstrom's to go up there to Linfield.
Do you think that they? But they don't have a space big enough for a superstore.
Yeah.
They're all kind of like little specialty stores, but they have all high end. All the high end.
It's a fun shopping there.
It's the kids. I mean, you got nothing to do with the kids. Yeah, you bring them, every kid loves Wahlburgers, right? But there's also, there's like five other places. Then they have the ice cream shop, they have the coffee shop, JP Licks.
They have a Panera, they have the JP Licks, they have Legal Seafood, they have Davio's, they have the Yard House.
The Yard House is such a great tremendous. Take
for kids or for grown-ups. The King's Bowling, obviously, and then that the green where the ice skating rink is, when it's not an ice skating rink, is just a really nice, calm area. Yeah. They have the big giant chess pieces and... you know,
King's Bowling is not cheap.
No, not at all.
I can't advocate for King's Bowling.
Yeah.
Because when you can go to Cape Ann Lanes for like a song and a dance.
Yeah.
And the Cape Ann Lanes now has been cleaned up, is run like a real nice, clean atmosphere. King's Bowling, to bring a family there, you're talking like $125 by the time you get done with it.
Yeah, it's a big ball crazy. Bowling, though. It's just like, it's not a, I would go to Cape Ann Lanes, you know, nine times out of ten, but that tenth time, it's nice to go up to King's and get the, I know, the big ball, the food, and whatever else. It's just a nice, like, with a big group of people. But we love Cape Ann Lanes. You know, it's just two different experiences.
I wonder if they have, like, Groupons for the Cape Ann Lanes, because it is a big hit. Like,
You do the bowl for free. I've told you about this before. Kids can bowl for free all summer long.
At King's?
No. At King's. No, at Cape Ann Lanes.
Yeah, Cape Ann Lanes is cheap. Yeah. That's a great take.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do the, you pay like $4.99 online. It's called kidsbowlfree.com, and you pick it as your lane, and then they literally bowl free all year.
Getting back to a little bit of restaurant news, within like a couple days, within a week of each other, on Lexington Ave and Magnolia, Press just opened up.
Oh, right.
And
didn't Donna do a little video about that?
Did they open or did they not open?
No, they opened yesterday.
Oh, why? They did open.
The guy emailed me yesterday. I had a phone conversation saying he was going to open yesterday. I had work. I couldn't get there.
Okay.
So Donna put a picture of the sign saying they were going to be open.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't put any pictures of food or anything like that or inside.
Inside? Okay.
Yesterday, which I... Whatever. So I'm gonna have to get over there.
I think before they were opening, she was over there taking
She got some photos before.
I believe.
And then yesterday I walked in because Pier 23 Kitchen at 23 East Main Street, they're getting closer to opening. They're talking about next week.
Next week.
And I opened.
Do you know what kind of food they're gonna have with the menu?
Yes, I'm gonna explain it to you right now.
Okay.
It is breakfast. And breakfast and lunch, with some more things to come. Three egg omelets, breakfast burritos, stacks with pancakes, waffles, and French toast. Eggs Benedict. Very aggressive breakfast menu. Like traditional eggs, like seven different ways. Sides, Greek lucanio. I don't know what that is. Homemade hash. They're Greeks. They're Greek kids. Okay. Fruit bowl, hot oatmeal bowl, hollandaise sauce, yogurt parfait. Then lunch, the signature dishes: ranch chicken sandwich, chicken guacamole chicken, chipotle chicken, pesto tomato and fresh mozzarella, turkey BLT, deli classic sandwiches, chicken salad, tuna melt, tuna ham, hot ham and cheese, BLT, grilled chicken breast sandwich. They have a kids menu. Then they have the big thing, their burgers. They'll make it, they'll make any kind of burger combination you can imagine.
Oh, fun.
You could name it. Like chicken breast in between two patties. he started naming things. And I have them listed on Cape Ann Eats. Okay. You can go to Cape Ann Eats and check it out.
That sounds like fun.
In Twin Tower Burger, Lamb Burger, Beef Brisket Burger. Just unbelievable amount of things.
It sounds like there's, you know, wonderful things you can go and have sit down, but it also sounds like there's super fun things that you could pick up on the fly too, if you just want to like.
That's what he said. He said that they have seating, so you could like order and sit, and they're gonna have there's a little bar you can sit and have a drink while your food's being made for takeout. And one of the brothers married the woman whose family owns Rockport House of Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Tie in with Nicole there.
What is their name? They do they do some nice like at the end of the soccer season, whatever. If they've sponsored a team, we've gone over there and had pizza parties or whatever with the team. Nice people. I don't know their name, but
His name is Marcos. So there's that. Get back.
And it's called Pier 123?
No, Pier 23. 23 East Main Street. Okay. They have a Facebook presence and an Instagram page.
Okay.
So there's that.
Nice to have that in our neighborhood.
Very nice to have. I know, we got a place. So you know what? It's nice to be able to have, from the dock, to be able to run and grab something quickly.
Right, it's so close to you.
There's something I just stumbled upon yesterday while I was perusing my Instagram feed. I don't know who the guy was. Some local kid posted a picture. He was up in New Hampshire stoking, getting the wood fire going. And he tagged the company Hey-hays. Did you see the post?
No. I saw it.
You didn't see the post? Get on the blog right now.
Oh, my God.
Hey-hays. Which are... which seem to be... They're tights for men.
Right.
Brightly colored and boldly patterned tights for men.
So, wow. they're like... The ones leggings. That you showed were like my Nordic ones. They right. have like a Fair Isle pattern on them.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Yes. So, and I voted right away no.
You voted no. Right. For men. This seems to be a big thing, though. Like, is LuLaRoe the same material? Or is that a different material?
As leggings. You know, I think we talked about this. They're synthetic.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like very synthetic.
I didn't even click through to see how much money these things
how
cost.
How much do they cost and what are they made out of? Like, are they made out of shiny steel?
You're going to make me go.
Or cotton?
You're going to make me go, aren't you? I linked to it on the blog.
We're going to have to find out right now.
Yes.
I think shiny spandex would
How do you spell hey hey? So I just pulled
H-E-Y.
Up
here. H-E-Y-A-G-Y-S.com. Heyhays.com. All right, here it is. Sizing fact. Buy. Okay, to buy them. $65 for a pair of men's tights.
And what?
Brett's
and
story.
What are they? What? So those look like spandex to me.
I thought that it looked like there was a pattern to them.
Yeah, that's a fair. That's kind of that's called a Fair Isle or a Swedish Nordic pattern.
Yes, that's the.
Yes.
Let's see. Flat lock stitching, 2-inch waistband.
What's the fiber?
Wicking antimicrobial fiber.
Oh, okay. So it's not cotton. It's some kind of synthetic there.
Fact. Okay. What size? What are they made out of? Here we go. They're designed to maximize one's active lifestyle and all its physiological needs. Hey Hey's fabric is a high-performance polyester span mid-weight tricot that wicks, breathes, and has antimicrobial finish, so you can throw them on for multiple workouts before washing. Ooh!
Multiple workouts.
That's the purpose of antimicrobial fabric, which is...
If I work out and I'm sweating and stuff... It's going in the wash before I wear them again.
Right. There's nothing
all
like...
Sorts of,
I don't want itchy nether regions.
You know, and you know what? Like, when Alex was playing sports and all the kids would get in the car, you could tell what kids wash their clothes.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
That is
nasty.
But men's tights. Okay, so go. Kim.
No.
Mm-mm. It's just not enough. Yeah. How about you, Nicole? How about if a guy has great legs?
I'm going through like, I don't know.
I don't have great legs, so I don't think I could.
If I was going on a blind date and the guy showed up wearing these, I'd have to say no. But like these are guys. I mean, I'm going through all the different pictures. They're out running and skiing and jogging and, you know,
The guys have nice legs though.
They're like, but they're in the solid looking ones, look kind of like bike pants. You know what I mean? Like the shiny skinny.
But so this guy's at Fenway Park right here. Right? That's totally Fenway Park.
Yeah.
And he's just walking around.
Balls out. Balls out in his Hey Hey's.
Does he have the Fair Isle ones?
Yeah, he's wearing the Fair Isle Hey Hey's on the track at Fenway Park.
I almost wore my Fair Isle Hey Hey's, my Fair Isle leggings. But they're just cotton and not shiny.
I do not have the stones to wear those out in public.
I don't know.
If I had better legs and as a goof I might wear them, but I would not. I
even when women wear leggings, I think it's inappropriate I think their shirt should go over their butt.
Nothing I like more than when my Kate wears her leggings with her shirt not covering her butt. It is the biggest turn on for me. Like, I say to her nonstop,
does she wear
I would rather her wear active wear around the house than lingerie.
Does she wear that out in public? Like
Kate can
leggings
pull it off.
Without a shirt over it or a jacket over it? That's what I'm talking about. Not loungewear, not homewear.
I think she does, but she's got such a fucking great ass.
And I think that's a little different than, I don't know, maybe I'm sounding prejudiced. When people who are...
Not in shape. Well, that's exactly my point. I don't have great legs. So I wouldn't wear these things but some of these guys that have tree trunks for legs, and you know they have nice quads and stuff like that.
And then
I think they could pull it off.
And then is their jacket go below their waist? Or
in the photos, no, they're balls out. They are balls out. Right? Very proud. They're standing akimbo.
So I don't know about
akimbo. What is it? Akimbo. Right?
I don't know.
So Nicole, what was your definitive answer?
I think for all these purposes here on their website, where they're like running and skiing, and then I think it's fine. But no, I don't want to see them.
You don't want to see them at the long go
at the Beauport, right? Having a cocktail. So.
And also, like, I get my cotton leggings from Nordstrom for $24. They're not $65.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the LuLaRoe ones are not $24,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, they're expensive too.
Yeah. What are the LuLaRoe made out of? Are they made out of like a wool, or are they made out of synthetic
they're
as well?
They're synthetic.
So these are like LuLaRoe for men.
Yeah.
Wait, LuLaRoe or Lululemon? Which one are you? So
no, Lululemon is terry cloth, like sweatpants. LuLaRoe is this thing now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tupperware. Yeah. Women have these parties and they have brightly colored prints and you can order them from them.
Yeah, but those are like super soft, like cotton. These are more like stretchy, like. Okay. These are more like athletic.
I thought you were so
More like
the ones I looked at online were synthetic spandex. They weren't cotton. The ones I
see, I don't know.
Cotton. I'm not really great with my materials, but so everyone I work with wears lots of those, and it's like underneath, like longer shirts or like a dress or
like
whatever.
A tunic,
and they're definitely like leggings. Whereas these are more like athletic, like yoga-ish.
You know, I'm so opposed to. Like people having these synthetics on their skin. I studied fiber arts, and when you see what happens with polyester versus what happens with cotton or wool or silk when it catches fire, it's really quite extraordinary. So,
I love that. I love my synthetics. I love my synthetic activewear. Hopefully, I don't burn to die.
Joey's last words.
Right? Like, I'm going to walk downstairs.
You sit by the fire pit. You with all your Weber grill stuff.
Right, with all your Weber grill stuff.
Feel more careful.
It's so highly flammable. It's so flammable.
Can you imagine?
My luck.
That's going to be your demise right there.
My luck. Kim, another topic she wanted to bring up was the YMCA Community Award nominations.
And what's
that all about?
It's their second annual one, and they're looking for nominees, and they're looking for people who honor those who make a difference in promoting the WISE values. And they have categories like youth development, social responsibility, and healthy living. And the nominations are due by February 28th at 5 p.m. So
there you go. So you're going to do a post, and I'll create a link to that post.
Okay,
all right. So it has specifically to do with, there has to be a connection to the YMCA. It's not just like the meeting house one, I mean the UU one, where it's just community awards.
At first, when I first read about it and learned about it, it sounded like that you need to have a connection, but I don't think you necessarily do. I mean, it specifically said honoring those who make a difference in promoting the values of the Y. It doesn't say in promoting.
How does Rick Dowsett not get that?
Yeah.
If you're talking about that, like I wonder if Rick's sitting there, because Rick's a good friend of mine. I'm just joking with him right now. Yeah. But like I'm sitting there, Rick's like, why don't we have an award for someone that does a lot for the Cape Ann YMCA?
Like, I wonder who will get it.
I wonder who would get that award.
Is it just a formality?
Yeah, I think it's more like the UU award.
Community award.
Yeah, it's more like
someone
a
that
community
helps,
award. That was my impression that I got.
Yeah.
So
YMCA does such great things.
Yeah. We'll find out more about it.
I'm going, Rick and I and the rabbit are leaving for Mexico in 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks. Wow.
That's awesome.
Very exciting. Wow. Very exciting.
So you're on for another week or so?
I'm on to the end of February.
Okay. Yeah.
Then I get the girls for a week, and then I'm going with Rick for a week.
Wow.
And the rabbit. And we'll have some... which promises to have the rabbit. Oh, he's the best.
I know.
Which promises to have inappropriate photos of the rabbit doing something stupid, because that's what we do on vacation, is try to embarrass the rabbit.
I think it's going to be more... even more fun to watch with Rick there as well.
Oh, yeah. We got a great place.
Are you going to Playa again?
Stories.
Yeah. Same place that one. They're building these. Playa is going to be ruined in about 10 years because they're starting to build malls there now.
Oh, wow.
But not ruined. It's just going to be different. It was very bohemian, yeah. And it's going to lose that bohemian. They're building these timeshares and hotels / timeshares, which is where we're staying, and they're incredible values. They're totally gorgeous, slick, incredible places for like $125 a night.
Wow.
We got the one.
And so, and does that house, and do all three of you stay in one room?
Last year we paid $130 a night.
Mm-hmm.
There was three of us. We each had our own bed, two different bedrooms, completely suites,
wow,
with doors, private, two bathrooms,
wow,
full bathrooms,
wow,
and huge kitchen and a deck. This year we sprung for the $220 a night place, roof deck, 1,300 square foot roof deck, private jacuzzi,
nice,
and like,
wow,
that much more ridiculous.
Okay.
That's, yeah, awesome. So I am so excited for that. where are we going? Oh, the lobster pool.
Yes.
I
read in the paper that they did get their 96 seats, and they can have it. Before it was 60 outside and 60 inside, 36 outside. Now they can have 96 seats, which is the same amount. They can just be anywhere in the building. They can be
all the premises.
All seats could be outside if they wanted to,
right,
now. So people can't bring their own chairs, and the chairs are going to have to be numbered. That was one of the stipulations.
I hope they do the chairs like they do at Cape Ann Brewing, where they have the community tables.
Big long benches?
Yeah, one bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fun, isn't it?
We had a great afternoon there.
One bench that seats 15 people. There's one seat.
Yeah.
No, that's a joke. They won't do that.
But they, they had another meeting. The board met and they approved their request. So a few neighbors came, but they weren't allowed to say anything because they had already had a public hearing. And then they have to check back with them again in a year, and if the meeting that the owners have to show up at, and they have to review how the year went. So, yeah. So it sounds good for their business.
Good for them. That's awesome. I think the news of the week was probably the $3 million
grant
from,
right,
is it the state of Massachusetts? Where did it come from?
That grant money came from, I wrote it down because it's long. The Massachusetts Life Science Center State Grants. That was the name of the organization that.
The GMGI is Gloucester.
Genome Institute, right? Gloucester Marine.
Gloucester Marine
Genome Institute.
Is that, so right? It specifically,
yeah,
has to do with marine.
Yes.
And biotechnology. I went on their website. For the 2017-2018 years, they are giving out free scholarships,
yeah,
to the top X amount of applicants. And it is...
So
last year when they did it for the first year,
mm-hmm,
every single person has a job right now.
That's just amazing, isn't it?
Everyone has a job. Now, these jobs are not going to be for peanuts.
Yeah.
These are big jobs.
Yeah,
there's a great opportunity there.
So $2.7 million is going to the Institute, but then the other $300,000 is going to four area schools, and two of Gloucester schools, $100,000 or $110,000 is going to Gloucester High School, and $56,000 is going to O'Malley.
Speaking of high schools, Nicole.
Yeah, so we went to... the Rockport High School hockey team had their final game of the season last night, but it was, I knew it was, John Parisi had posted that it was, they won, they went on to the state championships, and sadly they didn't win, so it was their final game, but they had a really nice ceremony before for the graduating seniors who, I could cry right now talking about it. You said it before we turned the mic on too, that, for these families, I mean, these are kids who, started skating when they were 3 and a half, and have gone through the whole program
the way we grew up in all these families.
And, I don't know anybody's plans for next year. They could all be playing college hockey next year, and I'm just not privy to it. But if not, this is, potentially the end of the road. So,
and all the sacrifices. No one sacrifices more than hockey moms.
Yeah.
No one. There is nothing. Soccer is up, is Soccer's probably the next highest.
Yeah, but
It's not even it's not even half of much the sacrifice that the hockey people do.
Yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. I wouldn't have it any other way. And and I was saying before, if we don't have a game, I get bummed out. I gotta take off for a game right now. But it was to watch these guys. I mean, they had nice, like, they had their shirts, you know, hanging on the glass, and they had a party before the game, and they honored their, you know, their parents came on the ice and posed for photos, and then the game started, and, you know, a phenomenal game, and just great quality hockey. I mean, good players, but then they lost, which is sad, but then to watch those seniors at the end of the game take off their helmets, and, you know, there were a couple, they were looking up at the scoreboard, and I totally am, but to watch them get off the ice for the last time, you know, heartbreaking, killer, and we had a couple of the families behind us whose kids, you know, scored a couple goals, and I think there was a hat trick, and their parents, Freddie knew them, but I don't know them, right behind me, and I'm like, oh my God, how do you not, like, you know, their final game of their senior year, you know, all this, the culmination of all that hard work, and watching them score and celebrate, and then watching them be so emotional themselves, the kids getting off the ice. So kudos to those kids and
the parents.
And to the parents who have let them get there.
Well, that was awesome, Nicole. And that's another Gloucestercast. We're right at a minute. 1 minute. No, 1 hour, one minute. Gloucestercast 218 with Stevie Douglas, Nicole Schraft, Kim Smith, and Thatcher just showing up.
How you doing, Thatcher?
All right. Good luck in your game today.
Thanks.
All right. We're out. Peace, everybody.
Where are you? So, what are you doing now that we're off? Are you going down to
the bowling alley?
Okay. Well, I'm done. So, I'll be right over there.